Temptation is brought to fulfillment by three stages: suggestion, delight, consent. These are the words preached by St. Gregory, Bishop of the Church at Rome, toward the end of the 6th century. They are wise words worthy of our consideration this day. First, we hear the devil's suggestion, then we delight in the thought, and finally, we consent to the deed. For St. Gregory, temptation is essentially a negotiation. It consists in the devil's desire to enter into a dialogue with man. The truth of Gregory's statement is borne out in the account of Adam and Eve's fall into sin. The devil approaches Eve in serpent's form in order to begin a dialogue. The devil comes with words. He seeks to enter into a negotiation with man to begin a debate concerning God's commands. As God indeed said, "You shall not eat of every tree of the garden." It is important to note that the devil's words invite man to respond. The devil begins with a question because questions call for answers. And when Eve answers, when dialogue is begun and the negotiation proceeds, then the trap is set. For now the devil knows that his greatest weapon will be used to great effect. And his greatest weapon is to lie, to deceive, to speak words that are false and empty of reality. For when Eve says that only the tree of knowledge is forbidden under penalty of death, the devil quickly responds, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like unto God, knowing good and evil." The devil makes his suggestion. Adam and Eve delight in the thought of wisdom, and they consent to the deed. Adam and Eve fall into sin because they fail to take the power of the devil seriously. They are surprised by evil's existence. They are caught off guard by the devil's lies. And because of their naive ignorance, they become willing partners in a most deadly negotiation. To know evil is to know that there can be no negotiation with evil. Adam and Eve's error is not merely that they delighted in the thought or consented to the deed. Their error begins when they listen to his suggestion. However, Adam and Eve have the excuse of naive innocence. This conversation with the devil is their first contact with evil. They have never before experienced evil. They have never heard a lie. But dear friends, what is our excuse? Do we not know of the devil's existence? Have we not experienced evil? Do we not know of his lies, of his deceptions, of his murderous intent? I am truly convinced that the lack of devotion and spiritual indifference among us is not the result of our rejection of Christ or our conscious repudiation of the faith. Rather, it is the result of our failure to believe in the power of evil, our failure to take the devil's threat and his lies seriously. Thus, while in our culture catechizes our people to now allow their children to choose Christ, to select their own religion, to opt for their own style of worship and spirituality, Scripture reminds us that the devil makes no such bargain. Evil does not recognize the freedom of man to make up his mind, and Satan will not wait for a child to reach the age of accountability. We are not so naive as Adam and Eve, and yet we continue to negotiate with the devil. We continue to give ear to his suggestions, and hearing his suggestions, we often delight in the thought and consent to the deed. However, today we hear of a man who refuses to negotiate with the devil. And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. Our Lord puts on flesh and blood that he might now enter into this conflict with the devil, that he might go to war against Satan, sin, and death. This conflict does not catch Jesus off guard. It is not a matter of chance. It is not the result of the devil's ambush. No, rather the text tells us that the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. In other words, this conflict was preordained. God has planned this conflict. Jesus has prepared for this war. He is expecting it. Indeed, this conflict has been predicted by the prophets of old. After the first sin, God punishes the devil with the prophetic promise that the seed of the woman would crush the devil's head. This prophecy is remarkable because it speaks of a man who, unlike Adam and Eve, will not negotiate with the devil, who will not listen to his suggestion, nor delight in the thought, nor consent to the deed. Instead of negotiating with the devil, the seed of the woman will crush the devil's head, thereby silencing his lies. It is truly interesting, I think, that in our text, St. Mark recounts no conversation between Jesus and Satan. Here there is no record of the devil's suggestion to turn stones into bread, no record of the devil's offer to give Jesus the kingdoms of the world, no record of the devil's tempting Jesus to cast himself off the pinnacle of the temple. St. Mark chooses to present Jesus' conflict with Satan as a conflict without words. Mark presents Jesus as one who will not negotiate with evil. Indeed, St. Mark tells us repeatedly that Jesus would not allow the demons to speak. Jesus does not come to debate or dialogue with the devil. He does not come to win a PR campaign against the Satan's lies. Rather, Jesus comes to crush his head, to cast him out of creation, to bind him hand and foot, and take away his possessions. This is what Jesus seeks to accomplish as he now makes his way to Jerusalem to suffer death upon the cross, rise triumphant Easter morning. Jesus gains peace not through negotiation, but through victory. Victory over sin, and victory over the devil and his lies, and victory over death in the grave. And this victory that Jesus has accomplished through his own death and resurrection is the same victory that he now seeks to accomplish in us this Lenten season. Lent is the time for us to follow Jesus to the cross, to share in his conflict with evil, to participate in his suffering, and rejoice in his victory. And yet we must understand that evil will not be overcome with negotiations. We cannot ignore sin and excuse transgressions or tolerate the devil's suggestions. Indeed, we must believe in the devil's hatred as much as we trust in God's love. And we must reject the devil's lies as much as we accept Christ's truth. And we must close our minds to the devil's suggestions as much as we open them to our Father's commands. Instead of negotiating with evil, we must learn to crush his head. And indeed, the same power that lives in Christ, that is manifested in his cross and resurrection, surely now also lives in us who are the members of his body. Indeed, in this sacrament, Christ's own victory, his own power, his spirit, his presence now become our fortress and our defense. The devil's head is here under our heel. Shall we again entertain his suggestions, or shall we crush his head through the gospel of Christ crucified? By ourselves, our will is perhaps too weak, our minds too easily seduced. But with Christ living in us, now our defense is sure and our victory is at hand. To Christ be all the glory, now and forever. Amen.